Coming up, we'll look at movie music as a psychiatric tool, a program to give video cameras to kids, and the death of life. This is On the Media from National Public Radio. We're back with On the Media. I'm Brian Lehrer. If all the Academy Award glitz going on in and around the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion seems very far away to you, there is a way to make your relationship with the movies a bit more personal. One California therapist uses film scores as a psychological tool. In the name of journalism and self-exploration, reporter Steve Mencher underwent movie music therapy. Here's what he found out about the movies. And
so, yeah. Put that other music on and keep the circus one on.
Okay.
And then I'd like you to metaphorically control the vest to represent exactly where you are in your life right now.
Somewhere about there, I guess.
So what are you finding out?
I'm sitting on a couch in my living room. It's not cold, but for some reason I'm shivering. I'm holding two of these black plastic Radio Shack cassette players on my lap, and the competing music is driving me crazy. Therapist Jim Jivak is playing my song, or songs, and I'm starting to get a little angry.
But it's too much to have them going at the same time.
I went to Jim Jivak with a problem. I told him I was feeling isolated in my work, that I needed to stop spending more time with computers than I was spending with people. So he peeled the layer off that right away, and he zeroed in on what he says is a disconnect between my head and my heart.
Be where you are right now. Okay, I'm going to play this one piece. And you talk about isolation. I don't know what this is. Now, don't pick it up until you're ready. You may not be ready. I'll ask you a few questions. Let the music become a part of you. How is this music like or not like your isolation? Now don't wait, no, don't go too quick. Take a deep breath, because if it's real quick, I know it's the wrong answer. So if you hesitate and let it become a part of you, and try to turn off your head for a moment. I know that's not an easy thing to do, but let your heart answer this question. When you're prepared to do that, pick up the tape recorder.
That oboe is just going right through me, and the whole experience is giving goosebumps to my goosebumps. I'm suddenly remembering that the oboe and the flute were the things I tried to play as a kid and never had any success at them. And now they're standing out there, all in front of the orchestra, they're strutting their stuff, but that's not what I want right now. And when they go back in and the strings eat them up and they disappear into that, that is exactly what I'm looking for right now, that I want to be part of the band. This is why I've come, this is why I'm talking to him right now. Now, the second music he's picked out, somehow he's decided that this represents stuff that I need to let go of, or stuff that keeps me stuck in my head and that I've got to release before I move forward. And that's why I'm ready to stop the whole thing right here. Because if he thinks that I have to give this up, this is me. This is the stuff that I love. It sounds like creativity and circus and fun. And this is what I want in my life. So if he thinks this is what I need to get rid of, then we have nothing more to talk about. I have agreed with him that the next thing I need to do is to make some sort of choice. And he's using the music as like a wedge to get me to the next step.
Okay, that's a big step, right? And that means, I'm going to tell you what it really means. It means something like this, to give up the circus.
No, I can't do that. I wouldn't want to. Why? No, it doesn't mean that to me.
Yeah, I know it doesn't. See, when I ask the question, it wouldn't.
I'm willing to follow him this far because I know I have a million friends who are therapists, and there is a truism involved, and it's that if you don't want to give something up, if you're resistant to then maybe you need to explore it.
that you don't know.
So this is what I'm going to do. I'm not sure how to do it. Jivak is going home. He and I live on different coasts. And this is the only chance I'll ever have, probably, to do movie, music, psychotherapy. You know, this is it. So since it's up to me, I think what I'm going to do is go out and find what movies the two selections that he played for me come from. And if I can do that, I might be able to get through some of this resistance. Jivak tells me that my circus music comes from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. And the oboe music is from the movie Meet Joe Black. In Jivak's process of movie music psychotherapy, he hopes you don't see the films. He calls the music a psychotherapeutic scalpel. He thinks you'd be distracted by the movie's images and story. But I don't care. I go out and rent Meet Joe Black. And it's not a great movie, but there's a bit of paternal abuse in it. I think when I hear that Jivak had that in the back of his mind, too, and he's been talking directly to me.
You forget your head and you listen to your heart. I'm not hearing any heart. Because the truth is, honey, there's no sense living your life without this. To make the journey and not fall deeply in love, well, you haven't lived a life at all. But you have to try. If you haven't tried, you haven't lived.
What I like about Meet Joe Black is the music. Almost every time it comes on, I get a lump in my throat. I call composer Thomas Newman, and I ask him if he knows why.
I remember in college, a question that was asked is, what made music sad? And I remember all the students, we just had no idea how to answer that question. And ultimately, it was that the music takes on the physical qualities of sadness. It tends to move in a more stepwise fashion, and not by leaps, slower. I mean, things like that kind of follow the physicality of a human emotion.
I wonder if maybe Newman has a formula, something like strings plus oboes equals a lump in the throat, major plus minor equals whatever. I mean, it worked on me, so I asked him if I was just responding like a machine.
A certain chord might evoke a certain kind of emotional response. A certain three chords may evoke a more specific musical response, and so on and so forth. And maybe those are the clues that lead you in the most general way, that say, this piece of music needs to really move me, in which case, am I dealing with minor chords or major chords or more complex chords?
I'm starting to think that Thomas Newman may be able to go a little further. So I go out and see his movie, Amazing Beauty. This is a scary kind of story. It's funny, too, about the rotten heart of suburbia, and it unnerves me. I'm sure part of that is that there's a dad in the story who's crazy about his teenage daughter's friends. And I've got a daughter, too. She's 9 years old, but her and her friends are growing up awfully fast. So his music, the haunting music, evocative music, it hooked me in from the first few notes. My brain is bubbling, my stomach is churning, and it sets up the story, and it's not the story that gets delivered. The music has a job to do. It has to negotiate between the pretty suburban pictures and the character with the jaundiced kind of voiceover. And that's what Newman was asked to do by director Sam Mendes.
The dilemma of how to open that movie is, if a man was describing just how almost dead he was, how do you make the audience invest? It was a huge kind of dilemma. And I had many, many ideas for this opening, and Sam would always almost like one of them or two, and we're really, really getting down to it. And finally, something clicked. I think, to a large part, it was a certain stop-startiness that I'd come up with, where a phrase begins, stops, and then reasserts itself.
For me, the marimba is the perfect sound for this film. It makes a familiar setting really kind of exotic, and it opens up the possibility that humor, energy, death, love, all of that can be crammed into this one movie. Now I really need to come to grips with my circus music, the score for It's a Mad, Mad World. Now, it turns out that the music perfectly fits Stanley Kramer's 1963 film tribute to slapstick Peggy Pan's comedy. The film's images and story finally clear up what's been bugging me. You see, the movie is not about a circus at all. It's a vaudeville-style morality play about greed and obsession, and suddenly the music doesn't seem quite so bright and bouncy anymore. See the music and the images and everything, and I know what Jivak has been telling me all along. When he said I had to give up the circus music, I think what that meant was that I have to give up this intellectual stuff that keeps me in my head all day, that keeps me in front of the computer and away from people. And what he meant when he said I had to listen to that oboe music that was connecting me, he meant I had to listen to my heart, that the heart was the thing that would connect me with other people, which is, after all, the problem that I went to him with in the first place. I can't ask the guy who wrote the Mad Mad World music about this, because he just died, and Jim Jevock is back home in California. So I asked Thomas Newman, who wrote my beautiful oboe music, if he could finally help me tie things up. Let me just end by asking what your image might be of a fella down in Southern California pulling out, the music from Meat.
Even though it was an unsettled conflict that made me seek out a music therapist in the first place, the inherent ambiguity of music allowed me to reconcile so many of the contradictory things I was feeling. The best film music is built from the ground up to help you toward catharsis. But art can't make you feel stuff. All it can do is introduce you to the feelings that are already there, if you're willing to listen. For On the Media, I'm Steve Mencher.